Well, forget our opinions. One that matters is Roger Rashid, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very, very well. Rog, you watch all of the Grand Slams and you have done so for many, many years now. That's as good as you can get in round two of a Grand Slam last night with Medvedev and Kyrgios.
Absolutely. When you look at the matchups, we've had some really entertaining second round matches in a lot of the majors. When you look at the draws, and it's generally the floating player who should be at one of the top seeds in the top 16 that's not. In this instance, it's Nick, but what Nick brings as a floating player is so much variety, so many weapons, and he brings a game where whenever he plays one of the big guns, it excites him. You know, that level of tennis and that atmosphere and the vibe on a court excites him, and we saw it last night. He played some high elite tennis, but over the course of the journey, even though he was close to rocking the boat, you can't substitute the hard work, the match play, the day in, day out training, and the competitive nature of someone like Medvedev generally gets the job done and is able to get their way through all the high levels, you know, the roller coaster ride that comes with Nick.
Roger, can I put this to you? Mossy and I were discussing it earlier that if Kyrgios maybe chose to be more focused, in line with a Medvedev who can get to the top of the tree, and less entertaining, would that potentially improve his tennis? There was even a comparison that one of our text messages made before, saying, well, we do have a guy on tour like that, Gael Monfils, who can entertain and also go deep into tournaments as well. But when you look at his record, and you coached Gael Monfils, I guess you can give some insight into this. How difficult is it to be both? Can you be both? Can you be entertaining and also top of your game? Yes, there's been the John McEnroes of the world, but has professional tennis, I guess, made it that it's either one or the other nowadays?
You can entertain. I mean, Gael puts in a lot of work. You know, he's sat in the top 10 for quite a few years. He's not quite there at the moment, but he's 17 in the world, but he's top 20. He doesn't really move too far outside of the top 20 players in the world. So he's putting in a volume of work off the court as well. And yes, he likes to entertain, but it's not always, what is entertainment? Entertainment means that you can play the big shots, you can accelerate the ball, you can go through your legs when you need to. But you're there for most of the year. And for Nick, he understands he's entertainment. He understands his box office when he plays. And maybe, for me, it's just what you want out of the game. So when you start playing the game of professional, of tennis, and you enjoy it as a kid, and then it gets into the professional environment, just because you went to the professional environment, it doesn't suggest that you're striving for the top of the tree. It's just the next level of competition that you're capable of playing in. So, and then it's up to you how you actually deal with that space. We would obviously love to see a fit Nick Kyrgios who's engaged to the yearly competition. And it doesn't really mean you need to play 22, 23 tournaments a year like some do. Some play more. You could play 15 or so tournaments. In fact, it's only played 15 tournaments in 2 years. So I think that's the frustrating thing for the fans out there when they watched last night, and they because sometimes the entertainment side hurts you at the big moments, and it can't always be. You can't always rely on your weapons to get you through. But as I said, this is all we speculate. But Nick knows what he's after. Is he going to be satisfied? I heard you prior to. Is he going to be satisfied before me coming on? Is he satisfied with his career at the end of it? Who would know? It's only we probably will never know. Mm.
Rog, we'll move on from the Kyrgios Medvedev match in a minute, but I just want to get your thoughts quickly because I was watching, you know, I couldn't turn the TV off last night. I kept having this debate in my own brain between being a fan and being a coach and having my coaching mindset on. I just felt that the sideshow, which, you know, good luck to Kyrgios, but the sideshow really took away from some absolutely quality tennis from Medvedev, and the reason that he is number two in the world and going for back-to-back Grand Slams, in that he just executed the basics so brilliantly at crucial times.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at it from just a purist point of view, Medvedev doesn't have all these different types of shots in his toolkit that Nick has. You know, he hasn't. You know, he's improved his serve. Medvedev, he's served himself out of trouble a couple of times in real clutch moments, which was amazing considering the noise that was in the stadium. And it was, you know, at times it got again, it got to a point where it wasn't respectful, you know, so that, you know, there was, but Medvedev kept his cool, his ability just to stay. At times he's actually got, you know, Medvedev normally, you know, can get a little bit heated under those conditions. You know, and then his ability to push back when he needed to and just stay continually aggressive on the ball and when he had the opportunity and he locked in. And, you know, it was a class act from Medvedev. I mean, that was a 10 out of 10 performance in class and actually navigating a situation and a scenario that was very, very tricky before you actually were going out and hit the ball. So there's a clear game plan, clear conversation between himself and his coach about how they were going to manage the Rod Laver Arena on that night. And I thought it was absolute class the way he was able to do that. And, you know, he's fit. He can be out there and he can hit the repeat button for 5 hours and you'll see the same things. And eventually, you know, you've got to do an enormous body of work as an athlete, as we all know, to be able to trust yourself and play at a level that's very consistent, and that was Medvedev. Really enjoyed his tennis,
and that's why he's the $2.40 favourite to win the tournament. What may have been lost in headlines with Kyrgios, though, sadly, were the great performances yesterday of the two Aussie men in Alex de Minaur and Chris O'Connell, who took a big scalp in Diego Schwartzman.
Yeah, look, and by the way, in the draw, we want different characters. We just want them more often, you know. Like, so we want what Nick does, you know, if he's there to play more often, and you know, because it is exciting. And you know, Garden Square was full last night. Hadn't seen it full. They just turned up. They just turned up to sit in front of the screen, be at the venue, and watch Nick. These are people that, you know, the people who, you know, you see everybody in the crowd just yelling and screaming, from young kids, you know, to, you know, real, you know, mature age adults. I mean, it was crazy. So these guys, the other guys, Alex de Minaur, he just won economically in straight sets, played really well, beautifully from the start, got on top of his opponent and then just kept the foot down. I thought it was a match that he had to win in straight sets, and he did so. And then Chris O'Connell was the big one, because he was on court three. Really good atmosphere around that court. Diego Schwartzman, who's a quality player, 13th seed, and he's having a really, really strong career. You know, he's been in the top 10. For Chris O'Connell to maturely, after the first set, you can win the first set, but then to maturely stay at a level where he kept challenging Diego Schwartzman from the start of the second set all the way through, that was the big ticket for me, because you can win a set and get a little bit carried away and get a little bit lost in the set, and then come off that. But Chris O'Connell didn't do that. And it's courtesy also of our fans, because they keep you in the game when there are times when you might have a flat spot. And that was a big match for him. I was really, really proud of the way he got through. Mm. And it's a good little payday for him as well. Just over $200,000 in his pocket. So it'll be, you know, that always helps, but he hasn't had a career like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Rog, I've got another question for you before you go around Sam Stosur. But just before that, we've had a listener text in quickly asking for your answer on this. It's probably a yes or a no. Morning, fellas. I'm lining up a punters club bet. Can you ask Roger if Nadal can win in straight sets today? Cheers, Shiraz.
Yeah, he can win in straight sets today. He plays Hachanov, he's a really quality player, big, strong athlete, but I just think Nadal can win, yes, in straight. There's no doubt about that. It's an interesting half of the draw. Zverev's in there, he plays our bot. I think there's, you know, if Nadal can get all the way through, get to Zverev and get through, I think he finds his way through the top half. Zverev's obviously a great player. So, you know, it's a good chance of getting through the as the tournament opens up. The top half has got... you know, there's some real opportunities there. And on the women's side, you know, we've got a big day in front of us with Ash Barty. And, I expect her to be forced. There's no against Georgie, the Italian, so 30th seed, who is a really good player in the sense that she's a ball striker. For someone who's light in stature, she's an aggressive ball striker at the ball. So a different type of tennis match for Ash Barty today than she's had in the first two rounds. This is a better quality player. She's played two qualifiers. Now she gets a quality athlete, and we're all looking forward to the match of Naomi Osaka and Anna Samova, who's from the US, who won a tournament this year in the first round, because that match, which I think will be tricky for Osaka, you know, that's the group matching with Barty and Osaka, which will be a popcorn match.
Mm. Now, as I alluded to, Sam bowed out yesterday. How will her career be remembered?
It'll be remembered as an athlete who had a great career, who ticked off on every single facet of being an athlete and giving herself the best opportunity to be rewarded and have great moments in a sporting arena, because she did everything, Sam, to be the athlete, got herself extremely fit. You know, she used psychologists if she needed to. She tried to change her game. It's not natural like watching Ash Barty. She's a bit more manufactured and had to really work at it. And you know, you've won a major. You've beaten. There's only one Australian woman that's beaten Serena Williams in a major, and she's done it twice, and that's Sam Stosur, and she beat her on the biggest stage you could beat Serena on, at the US Open, in front of 25,000 people in a final, and I think that probably sums it up. So you'd have a big smile on your face with Sam Stosur, and finally the last person that we haven't touched on is Madison Inglis, who won as well. And after beating the 23rd seed Leila Fernandez, she continued on yesterday, won in three sets. It was a tricky match against a qualifier from the US, Baptiste, who plays quite an aggressive game, serve volleys as well. But so hats off to Madison. She's in the third round and plays Kaya Kanepi. So again, she's got an opportunity in the third round. So that's a really it's going to be a great experience for her.
Yeah, it's been an exciting week for the Australians at the Australian Open so far this week, Roger. And hopefully they'll go deep into the draw. It's been entertaining, and it's always great to talk to you on the Big Sports Breakfast. And we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, and speak to you on Monday.